Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 98 of Heroes Unlimited. Today is a big day for Borgen's combat effectiveness, because we're discussing alien weapons. Every alien character gets one special alien weapon. This alien weapon can be of two types. It can be either a ranged weapon, like an energy blaster of some kind, or a melee weapon, which is going to be like a traditional earth weapon, only it vibrates, or it's like a lightsaber, or it's made of meteorite metal or whatever. It's a random roll on one of these two subtables, and you roll for which subtable you roll on, so it's a totally random selection. As we discussed earlier in skills, either you got to wait to do your skills until after this step, or you just got to guess which weapon proficiency you're going to need, because apparently weapons are assigned to alien astronauts basically at random. And then, you know, I guess they just trade them around until everybody's got one they can use, like kids trading lunches in elementary school. And some poor alien asshole ends up with a glaive geese arm. Nobody wants it. He doesn't know what the fuck to do with it. It's not a perfect system. But it may turn out to work for Borgen. We'll see. I made the best guesses I could on weapon proficiency. But before we get to the weapon that Borgen has, let's talk about some winners and losers on this table. First of all, we mentioned when we talked about power categories that aliens ought to be better at energy weapons than humans, since this game makes a big point that energy weapons are hard to come by here on Earth. They're a new technology. Now, the skills and power categories don't really bear that out. As we discussed, alien, bionic, hardware, robotics characters aren't doing a lot better on the energy weapons front than their human counterparts. However, here, you're likely to roll an energy weapon of some kind. So there's at least some flavor here, something to make your alien character feel alien, which I appreciate. What I appreciate less is that in most of these cases, it's pretty much a lateral move from Earth weapons to alien weapons. And I'll accept that for the more sci-fi gadgets, like if you want to make a sonic blaster or like a telescoping static energy rod be basically equivalent to a human weapon in effectiveness, just different, then that's fine. But if you're going to hit me with some shit that's basically just an alien version of a straight-up Earth weapon, I mean, I'm not asking for it to be a lot better, but could there be like a clear advantage, you know, like pros and cons over Earth technology? We don't always get this. There are some real losers on this list. There are a couple right at the top of this page. The Alien Submachine Gun, the creatively named Alien Submachine Gun. We don't get a picture of this submachine gun, which is too bad because it would be fascinating to see how this convergent evolution worked, where, you know, an alien comes from another planet and has something that is, for all intents and purposes, a Tommy gun. I'm really curious what makes it alien, but all we get are some pretty dry stats. Range, 600 feet. Damage, 4d6 per shot, 60-round magazine. Now, for reasons that will become clear, if puzzling, later in the podcast, we can't really compare this straight up to Earth submachine guns, at least with the rules of this edition. However, whipping out my copy of the previous edition of Heroes Unlimited and flipping to page 204, I find here stats for the 45 caliber Thompson M1, the Tommy gun. Like the exotic Astro Tommy gun, the conventional Earth Tommy gun does 46 damage. And it actually beats the Exo Tommy gun on range. It has a range of 660 feet compared to the Exo Tommy gun's 600 feet. The only way the Exo Tommy gun is better that I can see is its capacity. It has a 60-round magazine instead of a 20 or 30. However, the burst rules in this game don't really take account of individual rounds. A burst uses a percentage of your gun's total capacity. So for most purposes, if you're using your submachine gun as a submachine gun, it doesn't matter whether it came from Earth or Nimbus 12, you're getting the same kind of firepower out of it. The only exception would be if you're stupidly using your Exo Tommy gun to shoot individual rounds, or on a full damage spray, if you're just opening fire on a crowd with as many bullets as you can. You can do that twice at full damage with an Exo Tommy gun, whereas with a standard Tommy gun, the Earth Tommy gun, you can do it twice at lower damage or once at full damage. That's really the only difference. If you're shooting at one target, makes no difference at all. Only the Earth Tommy gun shoots farther. The Exo Tommy gun also somewhat throws the motives of your alien empire into question. This is a weapon whose only strength is its ability to just spray bullets in a general direction for a really long time. This is not a weapon that you send on a mission of peace. Nor is it a weapon that you send on a mission of assassination. This is a weapon specifically designed for random carnage. A strange thing to pack for an emissary to another world. But at least it does that well. At least it does carnage well. Compare that to the entry right below it, the mini laser. Quote, small rod the size of a flashlight. Range 100 feet, damage 2d6, 10-shot energy clip. This mini laser, I don't know how small a small rod is. It says the size of a flashlight. Flashlights vary, but given that it's 1998, the kind of flashlight the average person would have, I'm not sure that's really smaller than a handgun. It's about the same size. The damage is 2d6, which is like bottom of the barrel for a handgun. The range is 100 feet, way shorter than a handgun, even with a silencer on. And the mini laser, of course, does not use conventional primitive bullets, which can be bought in primitive retail stores found basically everywhere, assuming your alien mission is to the United States. Most alien weapons, unlike the Exo Tommy gun, don't use bullets. That's savage. It's unsophisticated. This whole system where you have a high-capacity weapon with easy-to-buy and easy-to-manufacture ammunition, alien societies have transcended that. Instead, they use the energy clip. The energy clip is a fascinating device used to contain the charges that serve as ammunition for an energy weapon. This particular mini laser has a 10-shot energy clip. Now, energy clips can't be easily reloaded or created on Earth. When you send your alien marine to Earth with a mini laser, either they have to be an electrical engineer or some kind of a genius inventor or procure a local electrical engineer to help them whenever they need to reload. And unlike a primitive human handgun that may have a capacity of 13 rounds and uses easily available clips for quick reloading, the mini laser has one energy clip that needs to be reloaded by a trained electrical engineer every 10 shots, costs $5,000 to reload. So every time you fire this thing for minimal damage, creating tiny burns on your foe as long as they're not too far away, it costs you $500. The mini laser sucks, and 2D6 is nothing. I mean, I can get twice that out of a Barracuda revolver that's got a 3-inch barrel. But the mini laser is not the dumbest thing on this page. The mini laser is a novelty, all right? I mean, maybe it's cultural. You're an alien culture, you think that handguns are unsophisticated. Little tiny explosions propelling, pieces of lead into other sentient beings. It's also uncultured. What we need is a little streamlined rod, no buttons on it, sort of an Apple design aesthetic that just kills people a teeny bit from very short range, and it's unreliable and extremely expensive, but it just feels better. It's a lifestyle weapon. The worst thing on this page, and I don't know how we keep getting these shitty ancient weapons even from space, it's on the melee weapons table, the quote-unquote high-tech melee weapons table, it's the Vibro Axe. If you roll a 21 to 30 on the high-tech melee weapon table, you get a Vibro Axe. Quote, a standard axe, you bet it is, with a handle generator like the sword. It's referring here to the Vibro Sword, which also has a generator in the handle. The average length is 2.25 feet. It has an average weight of 4.5 pounds, and it does 3d6 damage. If you're not familiar, Vibro weapons have, like, as it says, a generator. They have this technology where they're, like, surrounded by a vibrational field. It says, quote, Vibroblade weapons have their damaging edge surrounded by a high-frequency field that greatly increases their damage capacity. In the Rift setting, it says they inflict equivalent mega damage, but I can't imagine that if you, like, take this axe to Rift's Earth, suddenly it starts shaking that much more, gets a vibration upgrade, and it multiplies its damage by 100. That makes no sense. Presumably what they mean is vibration technology has improved enough by the post-apocalypse that their vibrating weapons are worth a damn. These are not. The Vibro Axe is about a foot and a half shorter than a regular axe, does the same damage, same weight even. So while it's shorter, doesn't have as much reach as a regular axe, it's just as heavy, does the same damage. No better than a regular axe, worse because it reaches a shorter distance, and it can break down. Even if you're a space barbarian, this is a bad choice. It's unreliable. You might want to raid Earth, but you can't because your fucking axe is in the shop. The only advantage this thing has over a regular axe is that vibro weapons leave cosmetic marks on your opponent's weapons. It says that, quote, anyone who successfully parries one of these special weapons, referring to vibroblades among others, with a conventional one, will have that normal weapon suffer minor damage. If a longsword is used to parry an energy sword, the laser beam will scorch and pit the metal of the sword. Scorch and pit. Not break, not penalize. The only advantage of your vibro axe is that when people block it with their sword or shield, just like they would a normal axe, it'll leave annoying little dents. That's just going to piss them off. They're going to throw your axe in the pool, then what are you going to do? You're going to have to find a fucking electrical engineer to fix your axe. It's the micro laser all over again. Don't get me wrong, some of these weapons are great, and I'm hoping to get one, but the Vibro Axe is a scam. Don't buy into the Vibro hype. You don't need the Exo Tommy gun. It's just a Tommy gun. You don't need a micro laser. It's basically just a pistol that only fires $500 artisanal bullets. And for God's sake, don't get yourself a Vibro Axe. Cultures across the stars have been making do with axes that don't need batteries for millennia. What makes you so fucking special? Just use an axe. So all right, the vibro axe, dumbest thing on this page. Now let's make the fateful roll to see what Borgen's primary weapon is. Let's see if we outguessed these tables when we gave her skills and she ended up with a weapon she can actually use. I'm rolling the dice now. The first roll is a 16, which means she has a ranged weapon, so we dodged the axe at least. The second roll is a 79. And of course, we got energy melee weapon, which is of course an entry on the ranged weapons table. Because what is a melee weapon after all? Zero is a range. The math is inarguable. Now the good news is this gives me my choice of a specific type of weapon, because it says here, quote, a bow type weapon or ordinary melee weapon, sword, battle axe, hammer, spear, etc., that ripples with an energy field when activated. This energy field makes the weapon virtually indestructible and inflicts double damage when it strikes. In the case of a bow weapon, it fires beams of energy instead of shafts. In addition, the weapon can fire energy bolts, just point and shoot, typically triggered by a verbal or mental command. Range 1,000 feet, suck it, micro laser, damage 5d6 per blast up to 1d4 plus 1 blast per melee round, each counts as one melee attack, automatically recharges itself. No electrical engineering for Borgen. She lucked out on weapon day. She got handed maybe the best thing on any of these tables, the energy melee weapon. You can use it at very long range, the damage is great at 5d6, it automatically recharges itself, and when you use it up close, it does double the conventional damage of the melee weapon you based it on, with no limitation on what you can choose. Now, the attentive listener will recall that Borgen knows how to use energy pistols, energy rifles, knives, and spears, and that she is a trained assassin, which lends an interesting twist to her mission to earn the trust of Earthlings. But anyway, knives don't do much damage, and we don't really need their throwing functionality since this energy weapon can shoot energy bolts. What we want is raw melee damage, which means we're going to go with a spear. Now, I doubt that we're going to talk about spears in detail later, so I don't mind giving you some spoilers from the weapons list later. Having chosen a spear, concealability is not a huge deal to me, but I don't want to be carrying around a 4-meter-long lance. And besides, there's a note here that says only paladins and knights can use a lance. There are none of those in this game, so I guess it's just here as a display piece. I want a weapon that does as much damage as possible, and the only weapon other than the unusable lance that does 2d6 plus 2 damage is the trident. The trident's a sweet weapon. You can throw it, not that that matters to Borgen since she's got an energy trident. It's only 5 feet long, pretty short. It only weighs 4 pounds, 3-way tie for the lightest option, and it does the highest damage of any weapon available here. The trident is clearly the way to go, and it fits her motif because she has one of those bubble helmets, sort of evocative of like a diver's helmet. So combining that with a laser trident and her cute little pug war face, that's a look, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited about it. So we're going to go with an energy trident for Borgen. That means in melee, she's doing 4d6 plus 4 damage with this thing and 5d6 at range. And as far as those energy blasts go, whether you want her to use her energy rifle weapon proficiency or her spear weapon proficiency, she's got either one. Our wrestling with the weapon proficiency section has paid off. We made good choices. They made this special day possible. So that's it for this page. It's been a banner day for Borgen. She avoided the pitfalls, which I hope you do in your future alien weaponry endeavors. Join me tomorrow, as Borgen hopefully gets lucky with her sweet alien ride as well, on MDC The Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That's ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Art of Escapism, whose work you can find at soundcloud.com/artofescapism. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.